Hey, I don't know if you knew this or not. There's 24 days left until Christmas Day, huh? How many of you got your shopping already done? You know what? This is a different time that I grew up in. I mean, when I first grew up, man, we used to get the Sears catalog. You know what I'm talking about? And we would look through that Sears catalog, and man, we would circle all the things that we hoped we would get that somehow my mom and dad knew we weren't going to get, you know? It's like, you're going to get this, you're going to get this, you're going to get this, and whatever. But we don't have to do that anymore. We got Amazon Prime. We got you can sit at home, you can order something, and have it at your house tomorrow. So husbands that always wait till the December 24th and think like, ooh, I got to go get something, and you run to Eckerd's or you run to CVS. Do we have Eckerd's anymore? I don't think so. We have CVS's and whatever. You know, Walmart. Walmart stays open all the time, man. I walked in there on Thanksgiving Day to pick up something, and the employees are in there. Yeah, we're open. It's like, yeah, I bet. I'm sorry about that. Well, I was thinking of some weird gifts. What are some of the kind of things that you get, you know? Did you know for a little more than $50 a month, you can join a Bacon of the Month club? You get 2 pounds of artisan. They call it artisan bacon. Okay? That's not the weirdest. They have a pickle of the month club. A pickle of the month club. I mean, how many different pickles? I guess you get 12 different kinds of pickles, I'm guessing. And then it just starts over the next year. They have a peanut butter and jelly of the month club. I mean, can you imagine being a kid going like, man, I can't wait till my lunch comes in sometime this week, you know? What are you going to do? Anyway, Christmas is a time of waiting. Christmas is a time of expectation. I mean, think about the school kids. Remember when we were back in school and you could tell December was here because the kids don't want to be there. The teachers don't want to be there. They start showing all the movies like Frozen and the Polar Express, and they call it education this time of year. You know what I'm talking about. You're waiting and waiting and waiting. You can't wait to get out of there, right? I would say the vast majority of our lives, however, is spent in expectation and in preparation. I mean, think about, we had 44 people at our house for Thanksgiving this year. Usually it's just Margie's family, but it was Margie's family plus Margie's family who and others, you know. It's just like these family people just kept coming in, and Margie's mom was like, oh, I forgot to tell you, we got 12 more people. Well, 12 more people means like maybe another turkey or something. So we have 44 people. Do you know the cooking started? We had stuff going at my brother's house and my mom's house here at the kitchen in here. We had it at our house. We had stuff cooking everywhere. We were baking a turkey. Was it bacon or roasting? What do you call it? Bacon. Okay. We baked the turkey. But we also fried a turkey. I mean, we were just, the preparation took days and days and days. You know how long it took them to eat that thing? You know, it's almost like there's more excitement in the preparation and the leading up to it. We get so excited about this holiday season. We get so excited about the coming of Jesus that sometimes when Christmas actually comes and you open the presents, then there's a feeling like, well, it's over. And it was not supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be a time of preparation, and it was a time of expectation. And I think the best use of our time here on earth is preparing for our eternity with God Himself. I mean, that's why Jesus invites us into this relationship. He says, you know, I came, you know, so that you could be restored. You can have a new relationship with God. The old things about you are no longer true. You are a new person. I've given you a new name. You have a new family. And we should be excited about that. The Old Testament. We go back to the Old Testament. The primary point of the Old Testament is preparing for one particular moment. And it started when Adam and Eve first sinned. They listened to the serpent. They sinned. And then God says this in Genesis 3. he says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That is the very first time the gospel, the good news that God is going to redeem his people is made. Back in the very beginning. And all of the Old Testament points to this one moment when God will reveal himself and will redeem his people. And when we read in the New Testament how Jesus came, and again, God surprised us. He didn't come like we would think a king would come. Came as a baby in a manger. There wasn't any room, a poor place, and a poor stall. From the moment of our first sin onward, the entire Old Testament prepares and points us to this great moment when our Savior, our Messiah, would come and remove the curse of sin. I think about the stuff that they had in the Old Testament. They had the law, and they had the temple sacrifices, and what that did was that showed us that we are in need of saving. We are in need of something taking the place of our sin. And so they offered sacrifices, and there were laws to kind of keep you from sinning. The slavery and the sorrow of the Israelites point to the bondage that we all feel as we are trapped in our sin and trapped in our old nature, that it's just a cycle of insanity and over and over and over. And in our own strength, we can't do anything. It's only God working through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, that brought and longed for the coming of a Messiah, an answer. 700 years before Jesus was even born, Micah says this, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." From the origin, from the very beginning, one is coming from you, Bethlehem. And Micah is telling us he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Alpha Omega. He's the Word of Life. He's the morning star. He's the day spring. He's the light of the world. He is the great I Am. He is the Ancient of Days. We call him Jesus. And his name was Emmanuel, God with us. So let's not get caught up in the humbleness of his birth, how poor he was, how poor his family, that Mary and Joseph weren't even married, and it was just this coming together of a mess. And out of this mess, God brings forth God with us. Don't confuse this little baby in the manger for who he really is. He is the author of life. He's the ancient one. He's our creator. He's the giver of life. He's the word of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And for hundreds of years, the Israelites heard these prophecies from these prophets. And they were looking for rescue. They were looking for hope. They were waiting expectantly, and they were preparing. And Advent is the time where we get together and prepare, and we wait. And as the prophets waited for the coming of Jesus, we wait for Jesus to come back. So, like them, we need to prepare. So let's kind of break that down for a little bit. We prepare first by repenting. John the Baptist wrote this. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." A little bit later, he says this, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." And then he says this, "I baptize you with water for repentance." Repent, repent, repent. We don't like that word. You know, we live under grace, right? We can do whatever we want because God's going to love us anyway. Don't believe that. That's one of those lies that have crept into the church. God loves you. God loves you so much that even while you were far from him, he sent his son to die for you. Yes, yes, yes. But God never meant for you to stay there. We grow more like Christ. And repentance in its simplest definition just means to turn. I'm going this way. it's the path to destruction, I'm going to turn. I'm no longer going to go that way. We have to change our approach. And you guys know me. I'm not much of a handy man. I mean, I was cutting wood one time, about cut my finger off, and it seems to be going around the church now. I think Kim's done it and Donald's done it. Anybody else want to do it? I would just say don't. But I remember asking my brother one time, I said, man, I really need a chainsaw where I can, you know, cut down these trees in my yard, and I need to be able to get, like, you know, maybe 5 trees an hour or something, man. I just, you know, whatever. I didn't know. He goes, okay, go to Campbell's Hardware, tell them you're my brother. And so I did. They charged me 3 times as much. So anyway, I called David up. I said, David, this is crazy. I said, can you come tell me what I'm doing wrong, man? I can't. It's been 3 hours, and I haven't even got 1 tree cut yet. He goes, I'll be over there. So sure enough, David comes over here, and he says, let me see the chainsaw. He pulls the cord, and I hear that sound. I go, what was that? I don't worry if you're going to get it, because the right people always get it. But the thing is, you have to change your approach. You have to change your approach. You'll be eating lunch today going like, oh, I get it now. Sandra's like, stop it. You can tell she's been out of town this week because we didn't get to refine the jokes and stuff. Anyway, Advent is a time for us to stop and to consider our approach. You know, the holiday lights get faster and faster and faster. I mean, Home Depot had Halloween here and Santa here. I mean, you had the Grim Reaper and Santa there, you know. It was just crazy. It's just like boom, boom, boom. And we live this harried, hectic, crazy pace. Are we going to stay that way, stressed, overwhelmed? Are we going to take a cue from the prophets of old who were waiting and preparing for his arrival? Will this be a time for us to stop and reflect, to pause, catch our breath, a time in adoration, praising God for who he is and what he's about to do through his son, and our repentance? The psalmist says this, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. We come to him in humility. Back in Israel, they were more concerned about avoiding sin. Redemption for sin, you know, having a Savior come for sin, they weren't really looking for that. They had all these laws and all of these statutes to keep them from sinning. And so they focused more on the process of that. When they looked for salvation, they weren't thinking about the Lamb of God coming to take away the sins of the earth. They weren't focused on that. They were focused on a king that would come and get them out of Roman rule. Okay, we're doing good on our own, God, because we have these 613 laws that we're just going to keep avoiding from sinning. And then if we do slip up, we're going to offer you some dove or lamb or goat or cow. But right now, we just need to get out of this oppression. But let's not us make the same mistake, because we are people that are desperate in need of a Savior because of our lives, because of our sin. So, preparation. As we prepare, preparation also increases our expectation. How are you preparing to meet God? If you knew that when you go home this afternoon, God was going to be sitting at your dinner table, how would you prepare for that? How would you prepare for church on Sunday if you knew that when you sat down, Jesus was going to sit next to you? How would you prepare for work on Monday morning knowing that Jesus is going to be there beside you at your place of work? Would you do something different? Here's the thing, folks. Jesus is beside you at work. Jesus is sitting at your table with you at home. Jesus is sitting here with you, beside you right now. And it should change the way that we live. It should change what we expect. Perhaps knowing that Emmanuel, God with us, is here with us now, then that should change the way we live. And then preparation brings fruit. We've done James and we've done Jude. Your lives have to reflect that Jesus is Lord of your life. Romans 10, Paul says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And what's this eternal life if we go through life the same way, depressed, overburdened, stressed out, filled with anxiety? We need to repent of complacency. We need to repent of religion. We need to repent of anything that is holding us back, and we need to draw near to Jesus and look for ways that his word could be born in our lives and we produce fruit. And then one thing I hope we remember is, in the midst of Christmas, in the sentimentality of the nativity scene, Jesus is a baby away in a manger, I pray that we would remember that the whole purpose of Christmas is a rescue mission. Jesus came to rescue what was his. He came to offer us a new life. He came to offer us hope. He came to offer us peace. And Jesus wasn't just this baby that was born in a manger. He is God. He was not outgunned, outclassed. He wasn't the hopeless underdog. He is the Creator. He's the Ancient of Days. He has the power and the authority over heaven and earth. So this Advent, for my expectation, my preparation, this year I'm not expecting things to fall apart. I am not preparing myself to be defeated. I am waiting expectantly for God to come through for you, and I'm expecting God to come through for me. I'm waiting expectantly for Jesus to be revealed in our lives and in our church. I am waiting expectantly, knowing that he is preparing me by changing me every day. He's chiseling away the hardness of my heart. He's still got a lot of work to do with me. I'm waiting expectantly for his kingdom to advance. I'm not going to buy into the church is defeated. You know, we're not keeping up and keeping in step with culture. We're not supposed to. I'm waiting expectantly for the lost to be found, the blind to see, for his love to be made known to people that are hurting, to a dying world. And I'm waiting expectantly for Jesus to come back and claim his bride, and that's the church. That's what I'm waiting for. That is my hope. That is my preparation. Emmanuel, God with us. God has come. We have been rescued, and through his rescue, we have been saved and brought back home. So how should that affect us? Today, as we get ready to take communion, I would pray that you would be prepared, that this would be a time of pausing, reflecting, examining your life, and say, hey, is my relationship with God where it needs to be? Maybe this is a season where I give back to him what he's already given to me. He gave me my new life, and so now I pledge my life to him. He is my Lord. Father, we thank you for sending your son to rescue us from sin. And in response and in preparation, Father, for our certain home in heaven, we pray the prayer of David from Psalm 139, where he said, Father, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.